Welcome to Connect the Dots. We broadcast every Saturday at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm health journalist and Huffington Post blogger Allison Rose Levy. The music you heard was a wonderful piece called The Garden by Bobby McFerrin, and it's from his new CD, which is called Vocabularies. On Connect the Dots, we make the connection between our personal health, our attitudes and beliefs about health, and our total health environment, including our food, environment, decisions we make about society, about health care and food and everything, and even how we get our energy, as well as our regulatory environment, all of the broader things that affect health. In today's show, we're going to be talking about attitudes, beliefs, and resources for wisdom and understanding that are important to our health, our well-being, and our sense of spiritual connection with a wonderful writer and intuitive person named Sophie Burnham. You may recognize her name because she is the author of the best-selling Book of Angels, a very special book that's been around for many years and which many people know and have loved. And she now has a new book coming out in the month of February. It's called The Art of Intuition. And in the book, Sophie talks about the nature of intuition and her own journey in deepening her intuition and her understanding of how that fits into our lives. So I just want to welcome you, Sophie, to Connect the Dots. So glad to have you with us today.
Allison, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
You know, I have to share something with you. You know, I read the book. I love the book. It's highly recommended, listeners. You know, I think you really will enjoy it very much. And you can also learn more about the book and Sophie and her workshops at her website, which is sophieburnham.com. And that's Sophie spelled SophieBurnham.com. But I have to share something funny with you, which is I have a little online sort of app that I sometimes use, and it's Soul Destiny cards, and you kind of can pick a card online, and it will give you a reading. And actually, I had it up on my computer when I came over to do the recording for this show, and I just kind of, for the heck of it, decided to pick a card and ask about this show, which is usually I wouldn't ask about, you know, I don't ask about every little thing I do, you know, but just more, you know, kind of ask for guidance at sort of, at larger intervals or something. So I picked a card, and I just have to share with you the card I picked because it was just so funny. I laughed out loud when I saw it. The card, and of course I didn't know what card it was until it was revealed. And the card is Intuitive Arts Guide.
No.
Yeah. There are many forms
That's
of intuition.
That's wonderful.
I just had to laugh out loud when I saw this, Sophie. There are many forms of intuitive work being done on the planet today. Using your intuitive gifts has a large role in the work you are really here to do. There are many tasks that are undertaken which actually involve the intuitive process. Whether you paint, write music, write, or give psychic readings, you are operating from an intuitive source. This guide is here to help you see that your role is connected with that. You are in service, and your intuitive knowing is strong. So that was the card.
My God, but Allison, that's exactly what my book is about. That's exactly what The Art of Intuition is about.
Uh-huh.
It covers intuition, the little nudge that says, go here, don't go there, or the bolt from the blue, or the artist's creative inspiration, or controlled remote viewing, the psychic spying that the military was doing against the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
It covers animal communication and psychic and mediumship giving and getting readings. All of these are forms of and faces of intuition, and your card had it perfectly.
Well, and this card comes up just when I'm asking about what our broadcast is going to be about and all, and there it right is. And so it actually, what I love about this is that it shows the connection. You know, this show is called Connect the Dots, because we frequently feel, you know, like if we're seeking personal health or, you know, that we're kind of on our own and that we're not within a larger fabric or web that we can influence, that influences us and that's kind of guiding things. And so this is really your book, and it is an affirmation of the fact that we are all connected. I also love the thought here that intuition and being in service are connected.
Yes, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And here's another thing. I was talking to a great Hindu guru, a swami, who told me once, act on your intuition, because the more you act on it, the more you will have. But I like the idea that intuition and service are connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
always on our side. Of course it's going to be on the side of everybody else too, because it's a spiritual gift.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that my book, The Art of Intuition, is the title of the book, but it's not an art. It's an innate quality that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
The art comes in learning how intuition comes to you. Is it a gut feeling, or do you get it on your skin? Does your scalp rise? Is it just a little thought that whips into your mind? And the art comes from learning to trust it and acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are really essential. But I do believe, and I think that you share this, I do believe that we are spiritual beings living on this physical plane, and that therefore we're all connected in some invisible matrix, and we dip into it, all of us have the ability. Some people have it more than others, the way some people are more mathematical than others. But it doesn't mean you can't learn to add and subtract, multiply and divide.
mm-hmm.
You know, we can all learn somehow. We're not going to be concert pianists, but we can pluck out the pieces on the piano. And the same with these innate abilities, which are designations of our own divinity. I know it sounds weird to say this, but I believe that we really are divine beings, and most of the time we don't know how much power we have.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I discovered in working on the Art of Intuition is that the higher your spiritual development, the more abilities you will discover that you have, of which intuition is one, and psychic phenomena and ESP. It all bleeds into the same thing. The Hindus call these siddhis, these powers, spelled S-I-D-D-H-I. And they say that you mustn't pay any attention to them because they're simply part of the spiritual journey, and everybody has them automatically. So
I like that understanding, actually. You know, they're kind of signposts on the way. But, you know, what sometimes happens, and I've observed this being, you know, in the kind of health, psychology, spirituality movement over the last 25 years,
mm-hmm.
is that we get an affirmation of this, or we encounter someone who possesses some more highly developed skill in this regard, and then instead of it being a reminder of our own connection, we'll frequently kind of, you know, I've seen this, I'm sure you've encountered this too, where people give power then to someone who can demonstrate a higher
level
of this.
They do that, or else they become so entranced with their own abilities
uh-huh.
that they fall off the spiritual path.
Uh-huh.
And never discover how fine you are because you've become waylaid, as it were, by the fact, ooh, look at this. If I do this, I have these psychic powers, or I have these intuitive abilities. And especially if you start using them for selfish means.
Mm-hmm.
And that will stop them dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean that you can't use intuition for your financial betterment, and intuition saves your life. Intuition is the thing that says stop as you're about to step on a snake, or makes you suddenly withdraw your hand when there's a black widow spider in there in the woodpile.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's on your side always. But and I don't know a single successful businessman who has not used intuition and who isn't open to saying that he does. I just had a hunch to sell that stock, he'll say, or I just had a hunch to make the phone call which led me to buy this business that has been so successful. And you think it really that we're just being guided by angels in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that you do it for a higher purpose, the more the intuition will come.
I'm interested in the fact that we're both writers.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the continuum from artistic creativity to intuition? Like, for example, for a writer, it's sort of like ideas, words, sentences, thoughts, things to express, insights come to one and, you know, we're writing them. I've sometimes wondered, where do they actually come from?
Where does it come from? I know. Well, let me just quote something from The Art of Intuition. It's not only the writer, it's the musician, it's the painter, it's the sculptor. Here's Tchaikovsky speaking of his musical inspiration. Generally speaking, the germ of a future composition comes suddenly and unexpectedly. If the soul is ready, that is to say, if the disposition for work is there, it takes root with extraordinary force and rapidity, shoots up through the earth, puts forth branches, leaves, and finally blossoms. I cannot define the creative process in any other way.
Hmm.
And the playwright Neil Simon, who said, I slip into a state that is apart from reality. I don't write consciously. It is as if the muse sits on my shoulder. My third quote is from Mozart. When I am, as it were, completely in myself, entirely alone and of good cheer, say traveling in a carriage or walking after a good meal or during the night when I cannot sleep, it is on such occasions that my ideas flow best and most abundantly. Whence and how they come, I know not, nor can I force them, nor do I hear in my imagination the parts successively, but I hear them, as it were, all at once. What a delight this is, I cannot tell. Now that, it, to me, encapsulates totally the artist's creative inspiration, which you and I know as the writer's muse. But intuition comes the same way. You are puzzling out a problem and struggling to solve the situation with intellect, and you get nowhere, and you finally give up, and you say, okay, throwing down your pencil, I am just going to go take a walk. You take a walk, and while you're out in nature, not thinking about it at all, boom, solution comes.
Mm.
Because it comes from every part of the brain. They talk about the left and the right hemisphere of the brain and how the left hemisphere is intellect, logic, analysis, critical faculties, judgment, and the right hemisphere is your creative knowing side. But I did a lot of research for The Art of Intuition and discover also that brain waves matter in this.
Interesting.
I don't want to go into this too deeply, but whether you're using your beta brain waves, which is all thinking, whether you let go and go into the deeper, rolling, brain waves of alpha and theta and delta, and those are the ones where the intuitions come.
Why do we trust, you know, the more structured, logical left brain than the gifts from the right brain in our culture? Why is that, do you think?
Why do we trust it? What a wonderful, wonderful question. What a wonderful question. I've not even asked myself that question because I trust my intuitive side so much more than the intellect. Mm-hmm. I won't make any decision now if it's only based on intellect. It's always wrong. So, but then I've learned over the years, I've learned by my mistakes that I mustn't make decisions that way. That, you know, when we're children, children all have intuition.
Mm-hmm.
They're little vessels of intuition because their brains haven't developed the right hemisphere and the prefrontal cortex yet. So they don't have it. They are trailing clouds of glory, in the words of Wordsworth. And then we send them to school, and in about the third grade or fourth grade, they start learning analysis. Before that, there's a lot of learning that goes on, but it's sopped up like a sponge in their little brains. And as they continue school every day, most of the day is battering at them to use the gifts of intellect. Because But this is important. The gifts of intellect are also gifts because they carry our culture. They carry our values and moral code and ethical ideals. And we want the children to know that. So it's only afterwards, when you get out of school, that you have the chance of learning how important intuition is. But only after you have already learned the other. And they must be used in tandem, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. But that becomes the challenge, you know, and the challenge of integrating, you know, the two really becomes the challenge.
Exactly, as in integrating it. And I certainly don't want to live without intellect and critical analytical abilities. But as a writer, I'm longing for the muse. So all we can do as far as intuition goes is to put ourselves in a place to have it come. We can't demand that it comes on time, on our schedule. We can't demand how it comes. We can only allow it. And there are ways to invite intuition, which I talk about a lot in The Art of Intuition. But the most important one is to turn off the machines and go into silence. Go take a walk, weed the garden, play with your dog. Animals are in the alpha brainwave range, and they affect our brainwaves deeply. A cat,
you know, it's interesting.
We're
going to have to take a break, but I was actually, you know, planning to ask you about animals, and you brought them up, so I think we will get into that a little bit after our break.
Okay.
And so this is Connect the Dots on PRN. We're talking with Sophie Burnham. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and please stay with us for more talk about the art of intuition.
Oh,
welcome back, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and in this show we connect the personal to the spiritual, the environmental, and the global, all talking about the different levels of the web of health and vitality and connection available to us. Our guest on today's show is Sophie Burnham, the author of a wonderful book called The Art of Intuition, Cultivating Your Inner Wisdom. And many of you listeners may also know Sophie as the best-selling author of A Book of Angels, a really beautiful book. So we've just been talking about intuition, and before the break, Sophie, you were saying that, you know, in fact, and I completely agree, I'm actually in the process of completing my first book as an author, as we speak.
Oh, wonderful. What is it?
And yeah, it's really been, it's wonderful. It's been an amazing experience. But, you know, because I'm writing in this realm of connecting the dots on health, there's a lot of the left brain, as we were talking about, but then there also is, you know, the sort of space for insight, for expression, for bringing, you know, the concepts alive, and so that people can feel and connect and touch and taste them. And a lot of that does come, you know, from a different aspect of reality than just the logical, educated mind. So we were talking, you were sharing some of the ways to create space for intuition to come in. And one of the things you mentioned was weeding the garden. I also like to cook a great deal, as well,
yes,
as take nature walks.
Yeah, cooking is a good idea.
And also you mentioned animals. And actually you had mentioned that at the very beginning. You had said that, you know, connecting with animals, that animals are kind of tuned in on that level. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that, because I have animals. And one of the things that I regularly do is communicate with the animals, and I notice that if they are perturbed, or if I'm leaving and they look worried, or, you know, at comings and goings and stuff like that, or they're maybe having a bad digestion that day, which was true for my boy cat today, mm-hmm. You know, I will frequently kind of talk to them, and they totally understand. I feel they don't understand so much the logical words as the intention or feeling or gift behind what you're trying to give them, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
I'd love to hear your view on what's going on with the animals and between ourselves and the animals in terms of intuition.
Well, I think you've put your finger on it exactly. Animals do not have our ability to think in words. So, but they are highly attuned, like children, to the energy of feelings. And, I mean, adults are, too. You know yourself that you can go into a room and it can be a party full of people, and you'll pick out one person and say, ooh, that person is in real trouble. That person is just sending out vibrations of something. I don't want to be near him.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very true for animals. Now, animals use primarily, I think, the alpha waves, but certainly the lower brain waves. If you could see my hands, I'm making these movements with my hands to show the different kind of brain waves, but of course it doesn't mean anything to you when I say lower. It's just like the wave of an ocean, not sharp and staccato. The other thing, though, is how often we know what animals are thinking and feeling.
That's true.
Now, you know that any time you're disturbed, any cat lover knows this, and you have a dog come up and put his head in your lap, or you have, and be quiet, and you have a cat come and leap up in your lap and start purring, after a while you feel different, because the vibration of the purring has transmuted itself into your body and you pick up that same rhythm. Well, one of the things that's really interesting to me, are the animal intuitives who know what animals are thinking and can hear them. I have a chapter on this in The Art of Intuition. And I have had very few examples of it myself in my own life, but I do remember one time when I was very troubled, and I took a walk with my dog out to Great Falls of the Potomac in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat for probably 20 minutes just looking at the water tumbling over the rocks, not thinking about anything until I'd gone into some deep meditative space. And then I got up and started walking, and all of a sudden I heard a voice behind me say, "Wait, come back." And I looked behind, and there was no one around, not a soul around. But there was my little dog, my little corgi, who couldn't get over the rock.
Oh.
And he had just called out to me in English, and I heard it in English. Because of that deep meditation. Now, I interviewed a number of animal communicators, and most of them agree on how they work. They see it in pictures, the way the animal gives it to them, and it can be a whole story. There was one woman, the first animal communicator I ever came in touch with, up in Massachusetts, where my daughter lives, and my daughter's friend had lost a dog, a German Shepherd. And after about 5 days in the middle of winter with snow on the ground, she was so concerned that she called Brenda, this animal communicator. And Brenda asked the name of the dog and the breed. And then she began talking and she said, "Well, I see a house and it has a porch with columns on it. And there's a loud explosion and I'm scared and I'm running down the road. And then off into the woods, and I'm on a path, and I'm lost. I don't know where I am. And I keep on going. I'm trying to get home, but I know I'm not there. And then there's a big, slippery meadow, and I cross the meadow, and there's a little shack, and I'm cold, and I'm hungry." And she said, "I know exactly where he is. Tell him I'll be there in a minute. He's at Fire Pond number 5. And there he was. And she went and got him. Now, I find that to be absolutely fabulous. But if the animal communicator, and I've talked to a number of animal communicators, and they can all do this, hear the animal. And there's no reason that that is not the same current that we have when the artist is inspired by the muse, or when we have an intuition to go here, don't go there. We just need to practice it. I'm convinced that our animals are angels to us. And using that word, I have to say another thing about intuition, that sometimes it comes so strongly that you feel that you really are hearing your guardian angel. It can come as an external voice. I know a woman who met a man and heard a voice in her ear say, "Remember that name, it will be yours." And lo and behold, she married him.
Oh, wow.
And there are several examples of an external voice. So where is that coming from? It's all mysterious and strange and wonderful.
You know, I want to ask you a, and I hope you'll forgive me, a bit of a tough question, which is, you know, all of the kinds of things that we've been discussing have to do with the sort of web of connection and protection that exists within our own lives. And yet also we're living in a time where outer events in the world are, you know, a lot more teetery and chaotic and troublesome than certainly was the case when I grew up, where, you know, our society had greater kind of ballast and stability, or maybe that was an illusion. But it just, it's certainly, you know, when I think of the young people, like my niece and people coming along now, entering adulthood and all, and the world that they are entering is so different from the one that that I entered as a young adult. And also, we also have to navigate a world with a lot more change and uncertainty than before on the outer level. Is there a way that intuition can not only help us individually make some kind of, you know, the kinds of choices that will be protective in this kind of environment, but also that can help keep things on course in a positive sense for the collective as a whole? I ask this because that's, you know, really the theme of Connect the Dots is, you know, from the personal to the connective, you know, to the collective. And, you know, I don't know if that's anything that you could share some insight about.
Oh, I think about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, Allison. First, I have to take issue with one thing. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that we live in any more difficult time than anybody else. Mm-hmm. This planet that we find ourselves on is very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult for all people in all moments, in all generations. I thank God that I am a woman living in the United States of America in this period of time, because I'll tell you, it was a hell of a lot worse in the 1600s or 1200s.
Yeah.
I don't know how those people survived.
Mm-hmm.
But even look at the last century. Look at two world wars and a tremendous depression and the atom bomb and the fears and anxieties that came with the technology of the last century.
Yes, that's
everything
true.
From cars and telephones and fax machines, and in the last decade of that came computers and cell phones and everything speeding up. And in the middle of it, what you find, I think that this is the reason that we feel it so dramatically now, is that all the suffering of the world is brought into our living rooms every day.
Yes.
By radio and television.
Yes.
And therefore we have no sense of balance. Mm-hmm. We don't know that this is the way it has always been.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years and centuries ago, when the Mughals came down into India and killed every man and woman, and raped every woman, that is to say, and killed all the boy children so that they could spread their seed and conquer a nation. No one in Europe knew about it. You
yeah.
didn't have to worry about it.
It's true.
But now we have to worry about every single thing happening all over the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing that we can do is hold on to our recognition that we are all entangled particles, just as you suggested. And we do have, by the power of our thought and our love, carried on invisible ribbons of love, we can affect people elsewhere in the world. There have been great studies. I had the pleasure of reporting some of them in The Art of Intuition, of how deeply connected we are. For example, they put volunteers into a room. This is a mental telepathy study.
Mm-hmm.
A man and his wife, separated by three doors, and the man is looking at different images on a computer. Both the man and the woman are hooked up to all kinds of things, measuring their heartbeat and their skin galvanization, and which is to say their sweat, and brain waves and eye movements and everything. And the man is looking at a computer screen. The woman is just sitting in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the man's wife's image appears on the screen, the wife in the other room registers a little EEG skip. That's how closely connected we are to each other. The man has a blip on his register of his heart, and she does too, within milliseconds. There was another study done, and I won't go into this at great length, but it has absolutely proven mental telepathy. Oh, I should say, by the way, the chances of that happening with the man and his wife, the mental telepathy there, the chances are 5,000 to 1. We are so deeply connected with one another, whether we know each other or not, that the only thing that we can do, and here comes the service to others, is pray. But the energy of our thoughts are so great that we, with our thoughts, can affect inanimate machines. They've done 25 or 30 years of studies at Princeton School of Engineering in the effect of human thought on random operating machines, and have demonstrated it without any doubt whatsoever that the machines respond at statistically significant levels to the thought that is being directed at them. Time makes no difference. You can send your thought 5 days in advance of the machine making his run. It's like a computer. The machine is on all the time, but then they're going to make a run on Tuesday between 3 and 4 o'clock. And you have already sent your direction to the machine 5 days earlier. The machine at statistically significant levels will recognize that. And distance makes no difference whatsoever. You can send it from Australia to Princeton. It doesn't matter. And you can even send it afterwards. The past is malleable, the thought. You can change the past, as it were, by sending your direction to the machine after the machine has made the run. And if the document has not been looked at, recorded, the data viewed, they discover that at statistically significant levels, the direction of the volunteers, these are just ordinary people, not psychics, has affected what the machine did. Now,
in
if
the past,
thought is this powerful,
that's the random number generators.
We can affect the rest of the world by the power of peaceful thinking. And if I think, indeed, if everybody in the world understood how powerful we are little spiritual energy machines. And if we understood it or were taught to use our abilities either to project our thought or to receive an intuition, why, we would be like gods. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen because the news media is designed to create fear. And therefore, we live in a state of perpetual fear, anxiety, which naturally impacts our health. But maybe I'm in another realm that you don't want to pursue at that point.
No, I mean, of course it impacts our health, and you know, there's no question that psychological patterns, beliefs, attitudes impact health. There's absolutely no question about it. But you know, the other piece
not
of it is
to have these.
That
we're not taught our own abilities and powers. We're not taught to discipline our thinking. We're not taught the moment that we feel anxiety or fear to say, oh, here I am being afraid, but wait, I don't need to. I need to turn to loving thoughts.
You know, we're coming up on a break here, and that's a beautiful thought to go out on. And we'll be back in a few moments with Connect the Dots with Sophie Burnham, author of The Art of Intuition, and I'm Allison Rose Levy. Stay with us. the dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy. And this is our last segment of the show, today's show, with Sophie Burnham, the author of The Art of Intuition. And let me just do a little promoing here so that we can conclude the show with some more of these wonderful insights and wisdom that Sophie's been sharing with us. Please join us regularly for Connect the Dots. We're on at noon Eastern Time every Saturday on PRN. And in addition, I often feature Health Actions of the Week, which you can find on my website, healthjournalistblog.com. You can also sign up for radio show announcements, for my Huffington blogs, and for featured Health Actions, so that we, you know, take our values and our spirituality and we bring them forth to influence the society at large. So I invite listeners to participate that way and stay informed about a wide range of health, environmental, and attitudinal media and other issues that all connect the dots for our health. In addition, I warmly suggest that you get a copy of just now published The Art of Intuition by Sophie Burnham. And you can also follow Sophie's events at her website, www.sophyburnham.com. And as you can hear from this program, there's really a lot of caring and wisdom that she has to share. So in our final segment, I just want to say, you know, how delightful it's been to be chatting with you and how much I really appreciate what you're offering us, Sophie. So it's just been terrific. And we have a few more, another 10 minutes or so before we conclude the show. But I like to do the promos kind of, you know, not go out with them. Is there anything else that you'd like to let our listeners know about in terms of connecting with you and your work? Before we kind of go back to our dialogue and questions.
In Washington, D.C., I will be at Politics and Prose Bookstore on March 1st. And great. I will be having some workshops and things, but I'll put them on my website. No, I think just I thank you so much for your kind words on my book. I think this book is really interesting because I think the topic is really interesting. Because we need to know that we don't have to be as living in such fear as we do now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's one thing I would say. The word intuition itself comes from a Latin word meaning guarded or protected. And I do think that we are protected and loved beyond our wildest imaginations. And I think that if most people in the world understood how much the universe tilts with joy at meeting us, at loving us, and wants more and better for us than we can possibly imagine, I think we really would live in a happier state and with less fear. But it's difficult to live on this planet. It's full of suffering, and we're all required to have some. It's so hard. It's so hard. But there we are. We are have at the same time a spiritual connection that's on our side and really deeply loves us and wants the best for us. So that's my little spiel.
Well, you know, that's really interesting, Sophie, that you mention suffering, because in my work for over 25 years, you know, as a health reporter,
mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen so many people suffering, you know, when people have young children who become ill and die very young, when children are afflicted with learning disabilities, with autism, the kind of physical pain that people can go through,
mm-hmm.
We're living in a time where we don't really, we kind of use nature as a resource for profit or our business or, you know, to create what we think should be created rather than, you know, kind of honoring and preserving nature and the ecology and the balance and in a way that's healthy for people and animals and plants and the planet. And that creates a lot of suffering. So one of my own challenges, and this is something that we talk about on the show, is how to view the suffering, have compassion, take action to proactively to forestall the suffering that is needless or that comes about through greed or power drives or something, without kind of becoming in you know going down with the ship, so to speak, you know, in caring and trying to help. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that's the whole purpose of being alive. Actually, you've just put it there without going down with a ship. It was Joseph Campbell who said, I think he was asked, what is the meaning of life? And he said, it isn't that there's a meaning of life. The principle is to experience every moment of life, all the joys, all the sorrows, experience all of it, and be alive. Many people don't want to be alive, and so they try to deaden their feelings with alcohol or drugs or some other form of escaping, when actually if you go deeply into the suffering, it will change. If you go into it with compassion, it will change itself. And again, I quote Goethe, who I admire greatly, and who said, the gods, the eternal ones, give all things to their darlings, all joys, all sorrows, to their darlings, everything. I look at what's going on in Egypt, in the Middle East now, and I'm filled with compassion for the people there who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a thing in the world that I can do for them except to hold them in a teardrop of prayer, mm-hmm. in an embrace of love.
Mm-hmm.
It is my experience that intuition and these higher gifts, the higher gifts of ESP and psychic phenomena, mental telepathy, animal communication, the creative inspiration, all of these things come on ribbons of love. And I mean it absolutely literally. It's an energy field that is carried literally, invisibly, on a love ribbon between a man and his wife, or between a mother and her child. And the only way to get out of the suffering is to remember the love. Yes, your child is ill. And to the very degree that you are in pain is to the degree of your love. Does this make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think
it's interesting because
death was not very bad.
What?
If we trusted that death was not as horrible as
right.
we think it is, then everything would be okay. We're
right.
so afraid of dying.
Yep.
We're so afraid of losing something that we can't realize that it's all okay at a certain spiritual level. It's not okay at the physical plane that we tend to live on all the time. But at the spiritual level, everything is working the way it's supposed to. And we are, our very atoms are composed of love, and we cannot help but love. And this is why we are concerned for other people's suffering. And that's where the healing comes in. It's always done with love,
mm-hmm.
the healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I resonate with that, and it's also interesting that you quoted Joseph Campbell, because he was my first teacher, and you know, at college and all.
Lucky you.
I know.
Oh, wow.
I've
never met him, but he must have been somebody special.
He was amazing, and you know, I had the schoolgirl crush of all time on him, I must confess, but I had good taste, you know.
Worth having.
He's wonderful, and in fact, he gave me the title for my book, you know.
And what's your book title?
What Ails Thee?
It
comes
lovely.
From the Parsifal myth. So, which he told, I studied with him for 15 years, and he told it the last time that I was together with him at a seminar. So,
well, good luck on your book.
What?
Good luck on your book.
Well, thank you.
When is it out?
Thank you. He sent me on a journey, you know, actually. But, you know, I agree that it does come from love, and it's wonderful to have that reminder. And I just, you know, thank you so much. It has been an utter delight to share with you and have you on the show. And you know, listeners, please do go out and get more of the same wisdom through Sophie Burnham's wonderful book, The Art of Intuition. And join us next week on Connect the Dots, Saturdays at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.